Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you all the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. And as always, we're going to start with the news from this week's EPG meeting. Sounds like there's quite a lot on their plate right now, is that right?
Yeah, there definitely is. We have a special guest later today, so I'm going to keep this really short and sweet. But there was a lot that was said in yesterday's emergency policy group meeting. But I think the information everyone's been reaching out to us about, it can really be summed up into 3 points. Let's talk about reopening the county, because that was the majority of the discussion. So the 3 points. The first one, the Hillsborough County EPG does not have the authority to do anything the governor doesn't want. So it was really stressed repeatedly during the meeting that they wanted to wait until today when Governor Ron DeSantis releases his order to know what they are expected to do. So once DeSantis has said this is the basic game plan, then our EPG can come in on Monday and say to support that, we are going to recommend that we do X, Y, and Z. So point two, what do we do now? Several key experts spoke yesterday about the issue, and I highly recommend you go listen to the full presentation on the Hillsborough County's YouTube page, but I'll sum up the gist of it. The reality is that we've tested 1% of our county's population, but the numbers are starting to really look okay. If the data is correct, then we have flattened the curve, but it was repeatedly stressed that the answer going forward is to use a gradual approach with opening. So the phrase that they repeatedly said was to use a dial, not a switch. So if we just revert back to normal immediately, then 99% of the population that is still susceptible to COVID-19 are going to have a very high chance of being exposed and infected, and then they are going to spread it, and before we know it, we're back to square one, if not worse off than we were before. So if we can gradually open things or open things with restrictions, then hopefully we can keep this contained. The county vowed to continue to amp up testing and to have rapid responses to everything that arises. So the key is to nip it in the bud before the infected have the chance to spread. The issue with that is the number of people who are asymptomatic in the community. They don't know they're sick and they can spread the virus without meaning to. So that leads us to our third measure, which is our new reality. Many of the experts and several of the EPG members use that verbiage when discussing the future. So it's obvious if we are going back to normal, people will continue to get sick and die in numbers unlike anything we've seen if the graphs that the EPG saw end up being true, which again, you can see yourself if you go to the YouTube channel. So our county, our region, our state, our country will have to create a new normal. Some of the experts said until a vaccine is created, which by the estimates that we're seeing in the news, that could take up to a year by, you know, some estimates. Some are longer, some are a little shorter. But until a vaccine is created, we need to continue to social distance as much as possible. And we will need to wear a mask in public if we can't social distance. And the hyper attention to hygiene and sanitizing surfaces and items you touch will need to continue. And there will more than likely need to be a higher reliance on technology as both the means of highlighting where hotspots of COVID-19 are lying in the community and to help people work and live in isolation as much as they can. Obviously, people are going to go back to work, but they'll need to still practice social distancing whenever possible. None of what I've just said was set in stone. It was merely a bunch of the theoretical futures that were floated during yesterday's meeting. One comment that kind of put it into perspective, though, was that, and this is a heavy analogy, but bear with me here because it was said at the meeting. They said, after 9/11, the country and in many cases the entire world changed the way it looked at air travel. So there are routines we consider normal now that had never been in place prior to that. We as a society adapted, and our medical experts are saying we may need to adapt once more to keep everyone safe. So Plant City Mayor Rick Lott added that the devil was in the details, and he echoed Tampa Mayor Jane Castor's statement that the economy needed businesses to come back as soon as possible, as long as we can find a way to do so safely. Lott said they need to make sure that they kept the citizens safe while allowing their businesses the freedom to survive, and he worried that the talk of too many restrictions would do more harm than good. That was kind of batted back and forth, and while not too much was said, you could see by the facial expressions in the videos that there were concerns and strong opinions of everyone on the board, because at the end of the day, they want to make sure that our economy is okay while they keep everyone safe. So they plan to discuss it more fully on Monday at 1:30. So tune into the county's Facebook or YouTube page to watch that meeting, and keep your eyes peeled today to see what Governor Ron DeSantis lets out.
All right. We went on Facebook this week and asked y'all when you'd feel safe or at least okay with the state reopening. And since we just covered that part of the EPG meeting this week, I feel like it's a good time to segue into this now. So here's what you all had to tell us, and I apologize in advance if I messed your name up. Anyway, Elizabeth Zuricki said, "Nature, including parks, beaches, etc., should be open now. People need sunshine, fresh air, and exercise. Businesses should open as soon as they choose. They can implement the appropriate safety measures that their particular business requires." Gwen Hendricks said, "Mid-May, with some stipulations, social distancing whenever possible, encourage wearing masks or staying home if severely immunocompromised." Mirtha LaRosa said, "Florida should be on phased reopening, should get people to take precautions like wearing a mask, keeping social distance. Restaurants should not open their dining rooms yet, at least for 2 more weeks. Makiba Knighton said, "The problem we face is being a tourist state. When Florida opens up, all the visitors come back, so we need a different plan in reopening. Personal opinion, truer words were never said." So we actually got a ton of responses to this question on Facebook. There's probably been some more since I last took a look at it, and we are also working on something in the future about this, so we would still like to get your input. If you'd like to speak with us and possibly have your thoughts featured in this article, or at least referenced, you can leave us a Facebook comment or a message, or you can email Brianne or myself directly. Again, just because we have the around town thing already in this week's paper, we're discussing it now, we still want to hear your opinion, because your thoughts matter. So you might remember our cover story from March 26, which was just a few weeks ago, but it feels more like it's been a few years ago. We wrote about the United Food Bank of Plant City working around an extreme increase in its need for services, or in people's need for its services, I should say. Well, it's been almost a month since that story ran, so we wanted to check back in with the food bank, and who better to keep us all in the loop than Executive Director Mary Hasek? Mary called into the show this week to give us all an idea of what life is like at the food bank these days and how things could look later, especially now that the wheels are starting to directly turn towards the state possibly reopening. Okay, so the first thing we wanted to ask you today was for a little update on how the food bank's handling things. I know we talked back in March about the state of the food bank now that all the COVID stuff happened and you guys were seeing more than like double the usual client base. How have things changed since then?
It's actually getting busier. We are still following all the COVID guidelines from the CDC of not allowing clients in our office. So we check in through the door. We're actually about to replace the door with like a banking door, so there's a no contact with clients, and we'll probably keep that going for a while, maybe through the summer. I'm not sure how long we'll keep that going. But it is actually, I was estimating it to be double. And a few days ago, we did a tally of the new people. And since in the past 14 days, we served 2,022 new people on top of our regular load. So that's just a lot of people in our community that's needing help and reaching out.
More than 2,000 people in 14 days?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And we've been doing I thought we were going to have to close the doors a couple of times because we would get really low, and then something happens and community comes together, we get funds and we're able to purchase more food. And it just happens, and we're one of the few food banks that haven't had to close their doors. I know a few in the surrounding communities have had to, so we're getting a lot more people from the Brandon area, also from Polk County. And we've been doing a survey. This is really interesting. We've been doing a survey of why all these people are coming in, and 58% of them are coming in because they've been furloughed or they've been laid off without pay. Wow. And then 35% of them are coming in because their young kids are out of school or they have really young kids and the daycares are closed. So that's what's happening. That's where all the people are coming from. And even in asking some of them, I could tell you names of local companies, and everybody in Plant City would recognize the companies and they have their letters, they have their layoff letters, and they're just coming to our doors to get help. We don't know how long it's gonna go on for everybody.
So what are the challenges right now of keeping food stocked on the shelves with such a huge influx of clients? You did say the community has been stepping up, and we talked back in March about this a little bit, but has it gotten any easier or any more difficult, or no change at all as far as you guys' ability to keep the shelves stocked enough throughout the week to feed people?
It's always difficult, but you know, there's days that are more difficult than others. And really, you know, we like to get the food, but then we have to check it. We have to check the expiration dates on everything. And we love to get one type of food, like all peanut butter or all jelly. Because when I go buy peanut butter and jelly or any other type of item, cereal for the kids' bags, I go and purchase, you know, two or three pallets of it, and we can just get that right out the door. We don't have to check the expiration dates by following the USDA guidelines. And then what ends up happening is where we buy from, we've got a couple of new vendors, they end up donating back to us. So, and they're giving us BOGO prices and discounts. So we have a lot of buying power right now with some of our vendors. So it's really... we've made some new contacts to be able to do that. And the community, the city has stepped up. There's been a lot of local companies that have stepped up in helping us not just get funding, but supplies overall.
One thing we talked about last month was back when it all first started, people were panic buying, and it was really hard for you guys to go to the grocery stores and get certain items that you needed because within 30 minutes of them opening, it was all gone. Has that gotten any better for you guys, or is it still pretty much about the same?
Now that's what has gotten better, is because we've got some priority purchasing power. So before the products go on the shelf, we've been able to purchase quantities of products that we need first before it goes on the shelf. And that's the basic supplies. The other thing that we're doing is we're buying products in super large quantities. Like we're buying a pallet of black beans in 50-pound bags, the same with rice, the same with flour, the same with... and then we're breaking it down. We're doing hot dogs, hamburgers like that, and breaking it down into smaller portions that are more manageable for the community and for us to be able to distribute.
Gotcha. So with the state looking at possibly reopening in phases, I know this is this came up in the EPG meeting. What do you think the impact of a reopening within, let's just say, the next few weeks, because that seems where things might be headed, what do you think the impact of a reopening phase soon would have on the food bank?
I think it'll be good for us to reopen. People, everyone I talk to, and I'm up front and personal and have a front row seat with the people coming in who are in need. They want to work. The people want to work. I can tell you that. But I think it's not going to be an immediate effect because they've already been out of work and their finances are so close. They just don't have a cushion to help themselves. So I think we'll see the impact. Even if everybody went back to work next week, I think the food bank will see an impact of this for a couple of months as these people stabilize financially. It'll be a temporary need here at the food bank, but it will take a couple of months for them to stabilize.
Gotcha. You mentioned before that the COVID stuff has begun to eat into your future month's budgets. Like I believe you've dipped into the fall budget now. So money is obviously a big thing for you guys. If someone were to donate right now, would food be a bigger preference for you, or would money be a bigger preference? Because obviously cutting into the budget like that for the fall is going to hurt with hurricane season coming up, and heaven forbid if there's another wave of COVID that happens. Would you guys basically prefer getting money right now, or food, or you take whatever you can get?
Well, a lot of the suppliers are stepping up and donating food. The dollars are what helps because, like you said, we have gone into our summer and fall budget. And one of the things that people forget is that we're still a business. Even though we're a nonprofit, we still have a mortgage to pay, electric and insurances and telephones and all of those types of things. So all that budget we're using that was, you know, kind of fall and winter budget to take care of things now. So the dollars definitely help to be able to stay afloat. And, you know, being a food bank, one thing about the food bank that everybody can understand is when you donate money, to any cause. You want to make sure that the money is going to the community and the people you want to help. And I can tell you that our operating budget of our administrative budget is a very small line item in our budget. In fact, the salaries, we only have four paid employees at the food bank. The salaries of the United Food Bank employees is only 1.6% of the total budget.
So the vast majority of this is going to go straight to the cause.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Speaking of your staff, I know volunteers are a big thing for you guys right now. I've been getting emails and seeing stuff pop up on social media about you guys looking for volunteers. So I just wanted to get into that a little bit on the show and let the people know if they were to volunteer with you guys, what they could expect as far as tasks go, hours, things like that. So basically, what are you looking for right now and anybody that wants to come by and physically help out?
Well, we need able-bodied volunteers because if we put them on the line, they've got to be able to lift 50, 60-pound boxes to put it in the car if we're going to put someone on the line. But then we also need volunteers who can sort those products, those big purchase items like the beans and the rice and that type of thing, to sort it for and break it down into smaller portions. But what we need is small groups, like 1 to 3 volunteers, because we just can't house if everybody's on top of everybody. If we have a group or a business who wants to come and bring 15 or 20 people, that's hard for us to work with.
Right, especially with the guidelines coming up now, and we can't really have more than 10 people together at once. So that when people do that, they bring large groups in there, like entire families, businesses, things like that. How do you guys handle that in such a way that, you know, you minimize the risks or just ease everybody's fears of, oh, this is a big group, what if somebody's got it?
Yeah, we haven't had any of our volunteers who have been overly concerned with how we're working. The volunteers, you know, it's the same groups working with each other every day. And the majority of them are wearing masks. Sometimes the masks get kind of difficult to manage. Mm-hmm. You know, and their glasses, people's glasses fog up. And so it's hard, and they might take it off. But for the most part, we haven't really had any issues with the volunteers being uncomfortable or anything. Now, that's one thing. We are selling masks right now, and we're selling, they're 3 to a pack, and it's 100% of the proceeds come to the food bank, and you can buy those through us, buy today and pick up tomorrow, basically. And we have some companies that are buying large quantities for their entire employees to be able to have.
Oh, how much do they cost?
Well, there's 3 to the pack, and they're $24 a pack. It's 100% profit to us. We had a donor who donated the mask to us, and this was just up and running last night. So if someone wants to purchase it, it doesn't go to a website, but you email it to ufbpcmarket@gmail.com, and you just say how many you want, and then you'll get an invoice, and you can either pay by credit card or by check when you pick it up at the food bank. We box it up and you can pick it up there.
It's ufbpcmarket@gmail.com.
Right.
Gotcha.
It's basically the United Food Bank Peace Plant City @gmail.com. So those are the initials in front of it, ufbpcmarket@gmail.com. And it's on Facebook, too. We've got a lot of links on Facebook. We just put that up last night.
Oh, cool. And last thing I want to just cover just so that everybody knows, if somebody wants to get in touch with you guys, whether it's for volunteers, donations, anything like that, obviously we just covered buying the mask, but for, you know, physically helping you guys out, how would someone start the process and get in touch and set up a time to either come volunteer or pick up food if they need it?
The best thing to do is to email us or call us, but the best thing is to email, because she can email right back the schedule and the application. It's a quickie little application for volunteering, and Gail is in our office, is in charge of that, and it's gtindle@ufbpc.org.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much for your time here. Really appreciate having you on the show today. Let's change the subject a little bit. I think it is time we got to the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation, which is, as you all know, where a couple of introverts, Brianne and myself, help you stay a little bit more sane staying indoors when you absolutely have to. I don't want to say nobody does it better than us, but we have so many years of already staying inside, being cooped up, left to our own devices, that we know how to do it and not go fully crazy. So hopefully we can help you. So I want to start this one off by giving you some credit, actually, Bree. I've been trying to be at least a little bit disciplined with my eating habits since I'm stuck inside more, and the temptation to snack until I explode or my buttons on my pants explode is at an all-time high. Big Chex Mix guy, always have been, especially the bold one, so it's been really hard to stay away from that. But you came into the newsroom on Wednesday for press day, and you blessed my soul. That's what you did. I felt like the guy from Wendy's who went viral from that video last year. Banana bread at work, dude? Heck yeah. That was me. I was that guy. My mom always said that good things come to, like, people who wait. And I wasn't really waiting for your banana bread at work, but I got it, and my life was so much better for having eaten the whole thing. So as you know, I've never been much of a cook, a baker, a pit master, grill smith, whatever you want to call me. I can make food that I can survive on, and that's about where I draw the line. Other people are way better than me at cooking, so I'd rather support them and eat something that tastes better than what I can make. That's my thoughts on it. I think it's only fair to both myself and others. Now, you and a lot of other people I know are getting way more acquainted with the kitchen or the grill or whatever lately, and you guys are getting really good at it. One of my best friends, who lives in Ruskin, has always been a great cook, but lately he's taught himself to not only bake, but also to make soup. Do you know how bummed I am that I can't try any of this soup?
I love soup so much, I fully support his endeavor.
Yeah, the other day he made, like, the best-looking pea soup I've ever seen, which, okay, the bar for pea soup looking good is not very high.
Fair.
There's a reason that was the soup that they picked to use for the demon puke in the first Exorcist movie when they're puking all over the priests. But this pea soup was a much more appetizing shade of green. It had a crap load of ham in it, and it didn't come from the demon-possessed body of a small child in a movie. So I am all for this. But anyway, to stop digressing, the process of cooking done by people who actually can cook has always interested me. So about a third of my suggested content list on my Instagram or whatever the magnifying glass thing in the bottom left, is that what it's called? The magnifying glass thing, suggested content? Does that have a name or is it just an icon?
You're asking someone that barely uses Instagram. So the explore tab, I guess, is what it's, I don't know, man.
Yes, explore. That's what it is. Explore. Okay. So a third of my content on the Explore tab is videos of people cooking porterhouse steaks or Turkish chefs going buck wild. I don't know what they're saying, but they're going buck wild, and I love it. The other two thirds, if you're interested to know this, are sports and watches. But there are a ton of those DIY recipe hack things that are floating around on YouTube and Facebook and other social media sites that encourage you to try them at home because it's quick and it's easy and it'll make the family happy and stuff like that. A lot of it sounds like and looks like it's too good to be true, and it is. So this one YouTube channel I've been getting really into lately and binging a little bit, and it's, in my opinion, must-see stuff for anyone who ever looked at one of those five-minute no-bake mug brownie cake type videos and wondered if they should try it. So there is this woman named Ann Reardon, who is a food scientist, and she runs the channel called How to Cook That. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Brie. Ever stumbled up on your recommended
it's amazing
thing for YouTube.
It's amazing.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Okay, good. So if you don't watch How to Cook That, you should. Ann Reardon spends a lot of time debunking those videos like any good scientist would. She's trying them and she's showing you her work as she goes. As a skeptic, it makes my skeptical cold heart sing. Now, Anne's got plenty of her own tips, tricks, and recipes on the channel, too. So if you're looking for something that's a little more inspo for going in there and baking or cooking something, rather than you're looking for 5-Minute Crafts or whatever video channel it is to get completely debunked and even a little bit roasted by a sassy Australian woman, there's still something there for you. So before you try out that quick, fun-looking homemade candy recipe that your sister-in-law posted on Facebook last night when she got a little bit bored, go check How to Cook That first to see if it's legit or if you're going to ruin your cooking utensils if you don't burn your whole kitchen down, blow up your microwave, and then you are really SOL. Bree, what about you? What do you got this week?
Well, nothing that exciting, that's for sure.
Well.
Yeah, whatever. So one thing that I've been doing recently is some of my friends and I have started to do virtual hangouts in larger groups on either House Party or Netflix Party or Zoom. And Justin and I, we've joked that introverts are always adopted into a former extroverted friend group. And that definitely is the case with me. I felt personally like that's...
It is not yeah. It is not a joke. By no means is this a joke. It is true. It is real. If you don't know it, you're an extrovert and no one has ever told you because they didn't want to make you feel bad. But it's true. We get adopted.
Yeah, she does and not I've lie. Never seen evidence, I guess, of that as much as I have recently because my friends are the ones that have really started to push for these hangouts. And at first I was a little resistant because I was like, I don't really want to log on to, you know, whatever. But I've been doing it and I have genuinely enjoyed it. Now, granted, some of them are doing it 4 or 5 times a week and I log on maybe once or twice. So it's definitely a lesser extent on my end. But when we started, we would all watch something on Netflix or Hulu together. And that still happens for sure. But recently we've been playing games online together as a group. So we'll all log on and we're grabbing our scotch and pouring some wine, and next thing we know, we're all playing Cards Against Humanity online or having a trivia night, or once we even played a winner-takes-all poker game, and the winner got Starbucks e-gift cards from the group. So I really can't stress enough how important it is to stay connected to the people you love. Justin and I used to have coffee every Saturday with our friends at Crazy Cup, and once COVID-19 hit, obviously we stopped, and the first few weeks we would run and get our coffees from KK and then get home and text each other in a big group message, and that was nice, but it hasn't been the same by any means. So this week we're doing a Zoom coffee hangout, and it is pathetic how excited I am about it, so thank you, Justin, for setting that up.
Hey, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, but if you are looking for some solo ideas, if you want to watch something, get on whatever you have in front of you. If it's your phone, your laptop, your smart TV, go to Hulu immediately and add Mrs. America to your watch list. It is about the movement to ratify the ERA in this country, and it has Cate Blanchett in it, and we are on week 2. The first week they released 3 episodes, so it's episode 4, but week 2. And it's amazing. I could wax poetic about the show for hours, but you just need to look at the cast on IMDb and you'll realize you've got to get it on the show. If you are a musical theater nerd and a fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber, the creator of shows like Phantom of the Opera and Evita and Cats, along with so many others, it's ridiculous. He has a YouTube channel called The Show Must Go On, and each Friday night for 48 hours, a high-quality production of one of his plays will be available to stream for free. And for theater fans, they know how big of a deal that is because you cannot watch a show, period. Like, it is so hard to find copies of any show that's been produced ever. So if you're lucky, there's a handful of them out there, but the fact that you get to stream it for free is insane. So definitely go check that out. We also came out in The Observer with an in-depth reading recommendation guide this week. So you can pick up the paper, head to our website at plantcityobserver.com if you're looking for something new to read or maybe want to dive back into that long abandoned hobby. And obviously you're like, well, where am I supposed to go get a book? Well, that's what Kindle is for. And the library, all of our public libraries are giving out e-library cards, and you can check out ebooks on there, and you can go to Audible or Wattpad or any of the hundreds of reading sites online that you can easily get a book if you want one. And there's some really good stuff in there. I wrote it, so I'm opinionated about that. Those are all books I love, but I tried to really diversify the list, and I think if you want to read, you'll find something. So just some tips for this week, and hopefully that'll get you through another few days.
I don't want to name names right now, but I wish you were in the newsroom the other day when we were putting the paper together. You'd already left. Most of the newsroom had left. I was still there doing stuff. And somebody we work with asked me, you know, what's in the paper this week? And I brought your book rec story up. And the first thing they said to me was, where the heck am I going to get a book?
Exactly.
So I really wish you were there for that. But I did my best to answer the question as best as I could. I think I did okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing about living in an age of the internet. You can Google that question and lots of other people with more time on their hands than me have made long lists of all the ways to find it. But I promise you, if you want to read a book, there's a way to find it online. You just have to look.
I just wanted to see the look on your face whenever that was said.
Yeah, no, I would have probably gone into a bit of a rage, like, but
excuse me. Excuse
me. How dare you? Where can you not find a book, ma'am?
Oh boy. Well, we're going to wrap things up again with our Look to the Helper segment. It's positive vibes only in this little corner of the show. And once again, I'd like to ask all you listeners out there to keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about on the podcast, maybe even write about for the paper or the internet. Anything we can do to get the word out and share good news, we'd like to do it. And this is just one of our mediums. So how about you go first, Bree? You also have a cold, skeptical heart like I do. So what made that thing sing this week?
You know, this week was hard because there were, in a good way, there was a lot going on that really made me thankful to live in a community as strong as ours is. But something that is probably the most recent, I'm going to highlight the Plant City Rotary Club. I got an email yesterday that said the group is turning 65 on May 12th, and during this pandemic, they've given $5,000 to the United Food Bank, which I thought tied in great to this episode. And many of the Rotary members have started to volunteer there as well. And to address kind of something that I know you've been really plugged into and working a lot on, Rotary is going to be giving out $35,000 in scholarships to local seniors, as well as any of the college sophomores or juniors that had, you know, received scholarships in the years prior from them, so they can reapply. And that's a really uplifting story, and I hope to talk to some Rotary members over the course of the next week or so to get more information and highlight them in our paper or online. But that was, you know, me opening my inbox, knowing what we were going to talk about this week, and seeing that it was like all of the stars aligned, you know. So that's definitely what I want to focus on this week. So check out Plant City Rotary Club on social media if you want to get more information about them. Despite, you know, us being in this kind of uncertain time, they've apparently been rocking and rolling and would love your support.
The best thing that happens to Bree and I right now at this time is when we get emails that don't suck. And by emails that don't suck, I mean, because we get a lot of, you know, there's a lot of police reports out there. There's a lot of heavy stuff about the virus. Like, okay, here's an update of who all died in Hillsborough County. There's a lot of stuff coming in our inboxes right now that are downers, or it's just like ads from everybody we bought stuff from. Because now that we've shifted from, hey, we really care about the coronavirus, we just want to let you know it's business as usual, from stuff I bought 5 years ago, now it's, hey, you all got your stimulus checks, here's a big sale. I got suckered into this too. I'm not trying to say that I'm really headstrong and I can resist all kinds of peer pressure, because as soon as I got that stimulus check, I did a good adult thing. I paid off a credit card and then I bought a watch, because I'm a sucker too. But it's really good to get emails like this, because it just totally lifts our spirits as much as anybody else's, even though, you know, we're not the ones receiving the scholarship money, we're not the ones giving away the scholarship money. But it's really cool to see groups like Plant City Rotary Club coming together, pushing through in these crazy times, and still finding a way to help people like that. Because these kids are the future. A lot of them have very uncertain futures right now, but if we are continuing to pour our resources into them, then there's a pretty good chance that, you know, 10, 20 years from now, things are going to be better than they could be if, you know, we just gave up hope. So on that note, I'm going to get to my thing. It really was not a great week for me with high school sports going bye-bye for the rest of the spring, but I am glad to see that our seniors might get the chance to walk in a graduation ceremony after all. If you haven't already heard, Hillsborough County Public Schools set up a block of dates in mid-July for this. It's all going to be at the Florida State Fairgrounds Expo Hall, as usual. Simmons is going to lead us off at 9 a.m. Tuesday, July 14th. Durant is up next at 4 p.m. Thursday, July 16th, followed by Plant City, 8 p.m. Friday, July 17th, and Strawberry Crest at 8 p.m. Saturday, July 18th, to round it out. My hope is that by the time this all happens, we will have been on a steady COVID decline, and getting so many people bumping elbows in one place won't carry the risks that it would right now. I would not go anywhere near that place right now. I don't care what you think projections are, numbers are, things like that. I'm not chancing it. But hopefully by July, it'll be a little bit better. These kids don't have prom anymore. They don't have school anymore. In some cases, school might have been their safe and or happy place. They don't have their sports anymore. They don't have senior night. They don't have the playoffs. They might not have had this graduation either. So that we're doing something, that we're at least trying to make it happen, is a big deal. I don't care how you feel about commencement ceremonies, because some of y'all treat it like a celebration of years of hard work and a big milestone. Some of y'all think it's overblown because the graduates just did a thing that they were supposed to do, because you're supposed to graduate high school, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. The real world doesn't care that much, whatever you want to say. This means a lot to a lot of kids, so it gives me hope that there really is a plan to do it safely, even if it looks totally different than what we're used to. If for some reason it's still bad in July, I hope HCPS is able to cook something up that's a little bit different but still works to give these kids the recognition they deserve for getting through not just the last 4 years of high school, but K through 12 on the whole. I will say this, if we keep treating coronavirus seriously and we keep following these social distancing guidelines to some extent, especially when things open back up in phases or however they do it, and we can stretch our legs a little bit more, this could be the one thing COVID can't take from the kids. And on that note, we can be the helpers that we're looking for. So on that note, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Stay tuned for next Friday's podcast. We're going to talk to Paul Conley, Executive Director of the Plant City Family YMCA, for the word on the why and a little bit more. So on that note, you stay safe out there, Plant City.